welcome to A Minute to Midnight. I'm Tony, and I'm joined in the studio by Matt. How are you, Matt?
Good, thanks, Tony. How about yourself?
I'm good. Yeah, it's a bit of a cold winter's night. Not cold in America, but it's a bit chilly here.
But it's warm inside here.
Yes, thankfully it is. And we're going to be joined a bit later in the show by Colin, who has an amazing testimony to share. And the topic we're covering tonight is Freemasonry and becoming free from the curse of Freemasonry.
So, with Freemasonry has been something that's been coming up for us a bit lately. So, and it's an area that we wanted to just talk about and address because we believe it's something that particularly Christians and non-Christians really need to know about. One of the things that I've been looking at recently is I've been reading a book by Tom Horn called Zenith 216. It is a great book. If you have the opportunity to read it, please do. It is really worthwhile. Tom Horn in this book discusses some of the origins of the ideas that are seen in Freemasonry today. And I'm not going to talk at length about this because it's a huge topic in and of itself, but I'll just discuss a little bit of what he talks about. In Freemasonry, there's much symbolism that is seen that surrounds the god Osiris. So long story short, Osiris is a god of mythology, but he's also identified as Gilgamesh or Nimrod. And in the Bible, Nimrod is talked about as being a type of an antichrist figure, okay? And the Bible, in some translations, describe him as being a mighty hunter against the Lord. So that kind of gives you a bit of an idea. He's also described as someone who became or Gibberim or changed into something else as well too. Perhaps a Nephilim, something we're not sure exactly. Okay, so we've got this figure, Osiris, also referred to as Gilgamesh and Nimrod. And the god Osiris features a lot in Freemasonry, and I'm not going to go into that. If you want to research that, please do. Buy the book Zenith 216. It will tell you all about it. But basically, we see in Freemasonry, there are three cities of the world that have particular types of structures that are commonly seen within Freemasonry circles. So we see in London and Rome and Washington, there are these rather large obelisk-type tall tower structures, and close to them are dome-like structures. These are representative in mythology of the tall obelisk tower is referred to as crudely the phallus of Osiris, okay? And the dome-like structure is seen as the womb of Isis, okay? Isis and Osiris were partnered or paired in ancient mythology. So if we look at Osiris being a Nimrod, and we look at the structures of the phallus or the obelisk and the womb, these are representative in Freemasonry of a rebirthing process. Okay, so Albert Pike talks about this in some of his literature, about the rebirthing of the god Osiris. Okay, so that's why we have these representations of these symbols. This is really, really important in Freemasonry, about this rebirthing of Nimrod, Osiris, Gilgamesh. Biblically, we're looking at an antichrist figure. So I think and Tony will talk about this a little more, about the spirit that is behind this. It's certainly not something of God. It's revealed to the high levels of Freemasonry that there is something which is certainly not of God. It's another spirit altogether. Okay, Tony, you've got a little bit more to add to discuss this from a different perspective.
Yes, Matt, absolutely. I want to show people why Freemasonry brings a curse, any involvement with it brings a curse because of what is behind it. I also just want to add to what you mentioned about obelisks and dome-like structures that the Vatican also has those. In fact, Rome has the largest number of obelisks in the world. What many of you won't be aware of is how there was a plot hatched in the 1770s to bring all secret societies, including Freemasonry, under the control of one organisation. A man named Adam Weishaupt was responsible for the founding of this organisation. On May 1st, 1776, this organisation was founded, and it was called Ordo Illuminati Bavariensis, or the Illuminati for short. Weishaupt himself had Jewish parents and was raised a Catholic under Jesuits at the University of Ingolstadt in Bavaria. Before founding the Illuminati, Weishaupt was initiated as a Freemason in 1774. So a small group, I think five initially, at the drawing up of the Illuminati, and that quickly grew and became very powerful. I won't go into all the details of that. It's a whole other thing in itself. But in 1782, the Invisible Masters of the Illuminati began their attempt to unite all secret societies under one supreme sway. This was done at the convent of Wilhelmsbad. Just 1 year later, in 1783, Weishaupt and a guy called Baron von Nigg had succeeded in introducing certain legends of Illuminism into Masonry. A bloke called Isaac Long brought the plans of Weishaupt and his Illuminists to America, and with them the Rite of 33 Degrees, which went on to become universal in Masonry. The title of Sovereign Grand Inspector General became the 33rd and highest degree. Isaac Long gave the institution the name of Ancient and Accepted Scottish Rites. The first constitution was signed at Charleston on May 31st, 1801. So we can see here that Weishaupt and the Illuminists had already gained quite a bit of control over Freemasonry, and so they were off to a great start, but it would be some years later before the Illuminists managed to gain full control over Freemasonry. In the 1800s, after Weishaupt had died, a man called Giuseppe Mazzini became the head of the Illuminati. So Weishaupt was now deceased, but the plans of the Illuminati were not. Mazzini and Karl Marx, by the way, were closely associated for a time, so don't let anyone tell you that Karl Marx was an atheist, for he was not an atheist, he was a Luciferian. So Marx and Mazzini together were entrusted with preparing the address and constitution for the International Working Men's Association, and on September 28, 1864, at St. Martin's Hall, this was established. And by the way, besides his association with Karl Marx, Mazzini can also be credited with the creation of the Mafia. On January 6, 1859, a man by the name of Albert Pike was elected Grand Master of the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry. Pike was an avowed Luciferian. In a letter to Albert Pike dated January 22nd, 1870, Mazzini wrote the following. So I'm actually going to read this letter. Okay. "We must allow all the federations to continue just as they are, with their systems, their central authorities, and their diverse modes of correspondence between high grades of the same right organized as they are present, but we must create a supreme right which will remain unknown, to which we will call all those Masons of high degree whom we shall select. With regard to their brothers in Masonry, these men must be pledged to the strictest secrecy. Through this supreme right we will govern all Freemasonry, which will become the one international centre, the more powerful because its direction will be unknown." So basically at the time then, Mazzini and Pike began their scheme of creating one universal direction reserved for all high Freemasonry. Okay, then on September 20th, 1870, the Constitution of Central Masonry was decreed and signed between Albert Pike and Mazzini. The two founders divided their powers, with Pike having a title of Sovereign Pontiff of Universal Freemasonry, and Mazzini having the executive authority as Sovereign Chief of Political Action. In honour of Baphomet, who's the basically goat, half goat, half man, or half goat, half female, half man, the idol of Lucifer. In honour of Baphomet, Pike named the order the New and Reformed Palladian Rite. The existence of this rite would be kept secret from all but a few secret individuals. And Palladianism is essentially Luciferian. I'm just going to read another little extract. One will better understand these precautions knowing that Palladianism is essentially a Luciferian rite. Its religion is Manichaean Neo-Gnosticism, teaching that the divinity is dual and that Lucifer is the equal of Adonai, with Lucifer, the god of light and goodness, struggling for humanity against Adonai, the god of darkness and evil. In stating this principle, the secret cult of the triangles, Albert Pike had only specified and unveiled the dogmas of the high grades of all other masonries, for in no matter what rite, the great architect of the universe is not the god worshipped by Christians. And that I've just read comes from a book called Occult Theocracy by Edith Starr Miller, and that was published in 1933, I think it was. Okay, so anyway, the Sovereign Executive Directory of High Masonry was established in Rome under Mazzini as its head. And Albert Pike sent Mazzini a copy of his Luciferian rituals, which greatly pleased Mazzini, and he praised his colleague's work. Pike and Mazzini completed the organization of High Masonry, establishing four Grand Central Directories for the world. On July 14, 1889, Pike's instructions to the 23 Supreme Councils of the world were recorded. And I'm going to read for you word for word an English translation of those. That which we must say to the crowd is, we worship a God, but it is the God that one adores without superstition. To you, Sovereign Grand Inspectors General, we say this, that you may repeat it to the brethren of the 32nd, 31st, and 30th degrees. The Masonic religion should be, by all of us initiates of the high degrees, maintained in the purity of Luciferian doctrine. If Lucifer were not God, would Adonai, the God of the Christians, whose deeds prove his cruelty, perfidy, and hatred of man, barbarism, and repulsion for science, would Adonai and his priests calumniate him? Yes, Lucifer is God, and unfortunately Adonai is also God. Thus, the doctrine of Satanism is a heresy, and the true and pure philosophical religion is the belief in Lucifer, the equal of Adonai. But Lucifer, God of light and God of good, is struggling for humanity against Adonai, the God of darkness and evil. So basically you can see there, the great architect of the world is Lucifer, according to those at the high levels of Freemasonry. It is not the Christian God, it is Lucifer. And that comes straight from the mouth of the great revered Albert Pike.
So what does the Bible have to say about this? I've found a few scriptures, and it's really interesting is when you look at what God has to say about this, he actually has quite a lot. And I think it's really looking at the scripture and understanding that as a result of being involved in Freemasonry, there is a curse attached to this. And this is why, and I'm just going to just read a few scriptures out to you as a result. So in the Ten Commandments, we've got, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on earth beneath or in the water underneath the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. So it's, once we've got these images, a Baphomet image and the worship of Lucifer. So straight away in the Ten Commandments, we've got the commandment that says no other gods, and Freemasonry has other gods, okay? If they worship Lucifer and they have these Baphomet images or idols, then immediately that's the sort of thing that brings a curse straight away. Okay, in other verses, Exodus 34:7, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children until the third and the fourth generation. There again, it's that generational curse coming through sin. Hosea 4:6, most people are pretty familiar with this one. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of God, I will also forget thy children. Once again, it's forgetting about God, not bothering to learn about God, not having his knowledge. It puts them into that situation. Deuteronomy 5:9, thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them nor serve them, for the Lord thy God, I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children until the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me. There's that thing, that generational thing again. God's going to curse those people, okay? Jeremiah 17:5 says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. And John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So it's really, that verse is talking about really coming to know the truth about things. Many Freemasons are deceived. They don't know that Lucifer is the object of worship, but we're hoping tonight that people can get some of this truth. Just as an aside, the Bible has a little bit to say about obelisks, about these tall phallic structures that are prominent within Freemasonry. In Leviticus 26:1, it says, ye shall make no idols, nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall ye set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto, for I am the Lord your God. I think that's pretty clear, huh? Okay, so those are some scriptures. It's clear that there's a curse that comes as a result of idol worship, of worshipping gods other than God. And so if you have a look and understand what we're talking about Freemasonry, I think it's going to become clear.
Yes, and we're going to have Colin join us, and Colin's going to share how he was set free from those curses of Freemasonry. Welcome, Colin.
Thanks, Tony. Nice to be here.
So, yeah, it's good to have you in here too. Before we interview you, we're going to play a clip of you speaking a couple of weeks ago, which is really powerful.
Thank you. That'll be great. Be nice to hear it again. Phil asked me this morning if I would share a journey that I came through. And it's not until, as Phil's just said, the scripture brings revelation, that sometimes you understand when the Holy Spirit moves, the lights come on, if I can put it that way, and you know that you know. Someone said, you know in your knower that you know. We, Laney and I and Brendan, were at a retreat a number of years ago, about 6 years ago. We'd been through a wonderful program called Cleansing Streams. Some of you may have heard of it. And the retreat that was held on a Saturday brings a lot of things together. It talks about generational stuff. It talks about things that may be generational curses that you may not be aware of. And until the Holy Spirit brings revelation, you can continue in the bondage of those oblivious. In my case, we were worshipping. And the way this retreat works is they'll have wonderful speakers who speak about particular subjects, and it could be unforgiveness. One part of the retreat was one of the guys got up and he prayed and he asked every lady in the place. He was he was standing in for every father, and he asked every lady in the place to forgive fathers, because some ladies, some women had been hurt by fathers. His wife stood up and prayed and asked every male in the room for forgiveness on behalf of all mothers. So it was a powerful, powerful move, God. The day was getting on, and there was one session that hadn't been held. And the leadership said, we're nearly out of time, but I can still see Rex Polglaze getting up and saying, but wait, we have to do this last session. And it was the last session in our seminar guide thing, and it was on Freemasonry. As a kid, you know, 10 or 11, I can draw you a picture of my dad's bedroom, my mum and dad's bedroom. I can draw you a picture under my dad's bed where there was a long box, about so long, about that wide and that deep. It was beautiful. It was finely made by a professional joiner of some sort, hinged and brass latches. Us kids weren't supposed to look at it. Guess what? Us kids did look at it. I had an elder brother, an elder sister, and two younger twin sisters. At the age of 10 or 11, I definitely sneaked a look. My dad was involved with the Independent Order of Odd Fellows. It's a Freemasonry lodge under a different name. And he rose to a very high rank of Deputy District Grand Master, second top Sharang, real serpent, right up the top level. I didn't know anything about the nature of the levels, of the 38 levels in Freemasonry until this day at the retreat when it was spoken about. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit gave me revelation. This is how it happened. We were worshipping. I had my hands up, and I had a signet ring on my hand, not this one. The signet ring I had on my hand was an onyx stone, and it had my initial in it, a gold C. My dad had given that to me on my 21st birthday. Laney was there, Barry's Hotel, Wine Inn Street in Blenheim. Not a bad memory for an old bloke. I remember exactly where we were sitting when he gave me that gift for my 21st birthday. At 16, still a young lad at school, about to sit school C, my mum died. She died in January of that year of cancer. Laney and I had been married about a year and a bit, and I was 22, and my dad died of cancer. He was 56. About 1990, I had an elder sister, 42 at the time, committed suicide. 6 months later, one of my younger twins, Raywin, at the age of 30, died of a brain tumour. Left behind, four-year-old. It was her wedding we went to in Wales last year. 10 years ago, my brother, at 51 years of age, shot himself. And you start thinking, what's wrong with this family? What is it that's killing this family? This day at the retreat, God gave me tremendous revelation. It was that foul spirit of Freemasonry. Do you know? And I don't know if anyone in this room has any family connections to it, but I'm telling you, you need it off your life. You may never have been involved in it, but there is a family link down through a generation that will affect you today and tomorrow, unless it's broken off your life. As I was worshipping, one of the people who were praying and ministering called me out and said, can you please explain that ring on your finger? I said, yeah, and I told it was whatever. She said, was your dad in Freemasonry? I said, yes, he was. That ring had been given to me. It was a generational curse on my life and on my family. Do you know what happens in Freemasonry? You may not, but let me tell you some of the things. When you reach a certain level of promotion within Freemasonry, eventually you are directly worshipping the devil. My dad was a couple of rungs off that. He'd sworn allegiance to the Independent Order of Odd Fellows and had all the pretense of being a lovely community group. We used to go to the Christmas parties. I can still see the Father Christmas in his canvas bag and the tip-top ice creams that were given out. It was all a guise. It was all a cover. When the truth of what I understood came to me, see, of a family of five, there's me and one sister, one of the twins, still alive. That day, by God's grace, I got the revelation of what was broken off my life. I had prayer, I had ministry, was gone. It physically left me. And the curse, because I'd been tormented years before about suicide, tormented, and yet your mind knows that's wrong. But I want to testify to the verse that Phil's brought out. The law that holds every one of us in our seat is the law of gravity. If it wasn't for that, you'd be on the ceiling. Some of you probably feel like you've been there this morning anyway. That's cool. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, it's immutable. It's a law that can't, it's fixed just like the law of gravity, has made me free from the law of sin and death. What is that law? The soul that sins shall surely die, be separated from God. But the law of the Spirit of life, life in all its fullness. I rang my kid sister in Nelson that afternoon. Kid, she's 50, 58. Still my kid sister because I'm older. And I said to her, Lainey led her to the Lord when she was 11. She isn't walking with the Lord now, but she will again one day soon. I rang her and I said, I've got some great news to tell you. You need to hear this. Our family has been under a curse. Mum at the age of 50, Dad at 56, my eldest sister at 42, her twin at 30, my brother at 51. I'm not going to describe to you the horrific nature of his death, but it was the devil flogging stuff from my family. And that day, in Lower Hutt, that curse was lifted and broken off me and my sister and our family forever.
And that was Colin speaking then. Just he's going to also just add a little bit more to what he's talked about from that session they had at the church. And just introducing, hi Colin, how you doing?
Hey mate, how's it going?
Good, thank you. Just, is there anything further you want to add? There's a bit more you want to talk about with this?
Yeah, I think one of the key things for people to understand and hear about is that the overriding factor for me when the realisation came to me was how powerful God's grace is. It saturates you. And sometimes you're not even aware it's there. But when he brings a gracious revelation to you, which brings truth, and it's like your eyes are opened and you understand and things all of a sudden take on an understanding. You comprehend why things have been happening, where you may have been questioning in the natural sense, how come these things have happened in our family? We must be, in quotes, unlucky, as people would say. But no, when you have a revelation of what was invoked upon our family from a very, very early age, and God's grace has carried you through that and sustained you and kept you, despite losing several members of my family, I can rejoice now that his grace carried me through.
Did you ever have a sense that there was something like wrong, but you couldn't put your finger on it? Was that
only the thoughts that would occasionally, I guess, torment's a strong word, but the thoughts that often came to me in difficult situations years before of even suicide, and that's not natural. That's not me. Then you know it's not of the Lord Jesus. It's of the devil. because I know he's come to rob, kill and destroy, and having lost family members to that horrible sickness, and get the revelation, the realisation of what had been on my family, those thoughts are challenging.
So the thoughts of suicide, they were things that would come into your head as opposed to the things you would think about in terms of you would have that thought of suicide to do something come into your head as opposed to think about how you would actually go about doing it. Is that?
Yeah, it was more a thought of you're unworthy.
Right.
You should end your life. You should escape all of this for no reason. The wherewithal, the means was never thought about. It was just I knew by the grace of God that was simply an attack on me as a person, on my faith, on Christ in me. The devil was playing tricks on my mind. So my defence was to claim audibly the blood of Jesus over my mind. And I believe that got me through a lot of challenging times.
So did you see a lot of change within the way you felt after you'd had the deliverance session?
The very day. It was the day that prayer happened, the release, the deliverance was particularly powerful. The very next day we took the occasion to destroy by fire the ring that I'd been given and even a watch I'd been given. So I had the appreciation that those things were linking me to something of the curse, and I wanted nothing more to do with it, and they were destroyed by fire. And I just felt an amazing release, and I was so joyful. I rang my sister, as I said in the track earlier, and said, "Hey, we've been set free." And it was pretty special.
Sounds like it. And of course, we heard a testimony from Paul. You prayed for Paul after he heard your message.
That's
as
right.
Well,
yes.
And he'd had been struggling with suicidal thoughts, and that was lifted off him immediately that you prayed for a release.
Yeah, that was pretty special because, you have no appreciation of just what your testimony can do. But it is a testimony of God's grace. And, the word says in Colossians that we experience things to be better equipped to help others through that process. And the grace that's upon us can be imparted to others. And in the case of Paul that particular day, his release was physical and visible. And what a great release for him. And the smile that came to his face when he knew he'd been set free was pretty special.
Because he'd struggled with suicidal thoughts for years, hadn't he?
He had. He had told us that he had struggled with that. And the day that I was privileged to share that testimony, Paul had wanted to stand up, come forward for prayer, but he felt something gripping him and holding him to the seat, trying to choke him. And God gave revelation to my wife and I as we prayed for him that needed to be set free from his life, cut off from his life, broken off, and wow, what a difference. That was amazing.
So how did you actually come to the realisation that Freemasonry was actually behind this, and what sort of led you to did God speak to you about it? What actually happened in that situation?
It really was the training session we'd had at the Cleansing Streams retreat. And it was amazing that although that session was last of the day and it wasn't going to be held because of time, but the leadership at the day decided that they would do the training session on Freemasonry. And that's when I received an understanding of the nature of what may have been over my family. And then through that time of worship and prayer, confession and breaking, the revelation came and the understanding with it, which was pretty special.
So it was actually people that were talking about Freemasonry and the impact that it can have on people's lives that got you to think about this and... Yes,
absolutely. That's exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. The teaching was very fundamental, very basic, factual, aligned with the Word of God. There was the process that the Ministry of Cleansing Stream takes you through is an understanding of what might be upon your life, the opportunity to confess that as a sin because it's opposed to God, therefore it is sin, and then the opportunity to repent of that, to be prayed for and set free. And that was such a simple process, but when the understanding came, it was we were worshipping in the time before ministry, and the particular ring I was wearing, one of the ministry team identified it as holding something over me, and I didn't know. But when it was taken off, I felt a release straight away. Yeah.
There's a guy called Rustas Dar who, in the States, who deals in this area. He talks about objects being charged objects, and it sounds a little bit like this is what this was, where objects can be charged with perhaps demonic power that can actually hold power over people. So it sounds a little bit like that.
Yeah, I don't have an understanding of the nature of that, but certainly I knew when the particular ministry person spoke this and asked me the nature of that ring, the fact that I was able to go back to when I was given it, it was a signet ring with my initial on it, and I understood what it could have been. And for me, if there was a chance that it could have been carrying a curse, there was no way I wanted to be associated with it. And for me, it was a physical taking off of what might have been placed on me. And with my understanding and knowledge of the allegiance that members of the particular lodge my father was involved with swear to their leadership and their secret society as such, there's no way I wanted that to be over my life anymore.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So what we've got a lot of people who listen to this program. So what advice would you give to them if they are in a situation where they think they've got, say, Masonic history in the family, or they know of it absolutely, and that nothing's ever, you know, happened for them? What advice would you give to them about what to do about that?
I think the most important thing, Matt, is that if someone listening to this broadcast has no explanation of a number of unexplained things that have happened either in their own life, members of their family's lives, usually involving tragedy, untimely death, suicide, depression, those things that are just not explainable but are related in that way, and this message, this broadcast has spoken to you, then my guidance would be seek the help of your local pastor. If you're in a church, I would be seeking guidance from a godly pastor, and straight away I'd be seeking prayer for having anything that might be on your life broken off.
That's good advice.
Yeah, and we can also point people to Jubilee Resources. Is it jubileeresources.org, I think? They have really great prayers for breaking all of the levels of Freemasonry off your life. I really recommend that people go there and get somebody else to pray through with them, even using that as a guideline.
Yeah, whatever resources you have available, whether it's the likes of, if your church is associated in any way with the Cleansing Stream Ministries, then you can go for that. It's a wonderful series of trainings and ministry meetings and a retreat, life-changing, some would say, and I would agree. It's been my experience, but above all, seek the help of your local pastors and any resources that are available, and do it with someone else. Don't try and battle this one alone. Pretty big. It's bigger than you and I, but together with God, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The victory belongs to you and I, and that's my experience, and I'm glad to be able to share it with you.
Colin, are you aware of any other families that are going through this kind of thing? Have you been aware of other families that have had similar things happen?
Since sharing my testimony at our church, I've had three separate families come to me and tell me the story briefly, that they know in their own family there was a link back through a previous generation to at least one brand or branch of the Masonic lodges, and in one case we were happy to pray with the whole family to just declare their freedom and the blood of Jesus over their lives. I am aware of two other families that, as a result of that talk, have come forward and asked for similar prayer. So as I say at the start, really it's not until revelation comes, and if God's using this message, this broadcast, to to touch something in your life that you know, you now know that there is a reason for what's been happening, then, hey, our encouragement to you tonight is, today is, go get help. Go talk to your pastor. Go get assistance and rejoice and live the life God intended for you.
It's really interesting. I was telling Tony early today in an email that I'd spent an hour and a half watching a YouTube documentary on Freemasonry last night, and I was led into it because part of the description for it said is, should Christians become Freemasons? Okay, and at the end of the documentary, it was an hour and a half long, I was led to the conclusion that it was a documentary that was actually produced by Freemasons. And what made me think that was that they were saying that there was nothing wrong with Freemasonry. It was a society for men where they had good men and they took those men in and they made them better. There was never any mention of the kind of occult roots. That was all played down. So it sounds like, you know, a lot of people see Freemasonry and they think it's a trivial, a bit of a funny club that blokes get involved in. They don't see or understand the occultic roots that sit behind it and the damage that it actually does to people's
Plus,
families.
It's incredibly powerful. I was talking to somebody who is in the banking industry, and he informed me that every client, when he goes to look at their banking records, you can see all their transactions and that. But the Freemasons, I don't know, some level of Freemasonry, the teller cannot see any of the records of that person or the Freemasonry group that they represent. It's shut from their view, which is like none of the rest of us would have that privilege.
No.
Or, you know, it's incredibly powerful. It goes through society, and even a lot of the so-called truth movement that are supposedly exposing a lot of things to do with the New World Order, and that they'll stop short here because I believe half of them are also Freemasons at some level, or are under the control of Freemasons, or Freemasons provide their funding to some degree, and so they won't go the full hog to expose it because this thing goes fingers through the whole of society.
My experience, as I mentioned in the track earlier, was I may not have particularly brought this out, but the church, and it's of no value to name the church that we were involved in as a family, as children. It was an upstanding, regular church, and the majority of the leadership in that church, short of the minister himself, but the majority of the senior leadership in that church were members of the same lodge my father was in. And, you know, we know that the devil takes on many forms. You know, wolf in sheep's clothing comes to mind. But the lodge that he was involved with in our hometown, there was a pretense. Even at his funeral, the scriptures were read. John 3:16 was read by a member of the lodge, a well-respected man in that same local church. But you see, it has the pretense of being good, but its roots are clearly evil.
As we've gone into in this show, we've showed you exactly where those roots are. The thing is that so many people, particularly in the lower levels of Freemasonry, have no idea what they're getting into. But once they get to a certain level, it becomes revealed to them. And they're, well, it's pretty hard to get out of a secret society when you get to a certain level, particularly with the oaths that they've sworn.
And I believe, Tony, that was the nature of what happened to my particular family. Down through the years, that because my father had relinquished his position within the lodge, his very high up position, second in charge of the local lodge, he had relinquished it, and I don't know the reasons why. Within approximately 2 years of him stepping down, my mother was dead. 5 years later, he was dead. A year later, his second wife, whom he had remarried, she committed suicide. And as my track said earlier, the suicides and death in my family followed suit fairly soon after. But I'm grateful and give all the praise and honour to the Lord that, you know, His grace is sufficient for me and my household. So from a generational point of view, that curse is well and truly broken off my family and the descendants in my family. And I am very, very grateful to the Lord that he brought that revelation and the exposure, the freedom that came. You can't describe it. It's amazing.
Would you like to finish off by sharing a prayer that people listening may want to pray, Colin?
Let's do that, yeah. Let's lift this before the Lord and let's see him move mightily in your life. Father, we thank you that you're a God of grace and a God of mercy. We thank you that by your Holy Spirit you move even through the airwaves. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to talk about this matter that before you, O God, is definitely, Lord, opposed to what you want. So, Lord, if anyone's listening now and, Lord, they simply want to be set free right where they are, sitting now listening to this broadcast, then my prayer would be that they would turn from this actively before you, Lord. They would repent of what's upon their lives. Lord, it's like an unknown sin. It's not that we've consciously been involved or associated through past generations, but, Lord, right now we confess this family link as sin before you. And right now, Father God, we repent of this on behalf of our family now before you. We declare to you the blood of Jesus over our lives. We break off in the name of Jesus every curse that's come down through our generations into our own lives and that of our family. And we say, be healed now by the blood of Jesus in his name. We thank you, Lord, that his precious stripes bring healing to our bodies, to our minds. And we declare the blood of Jesus over everyone listening to this broadcast now. May you be glorified, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you for coming on the A Minute to Midnight show, Colin, and sharing what you have. It's been awesome.
Blessings to you, Tony and Matt. Thanks for having me in the studio tonight.
Thank you, Colin.
Okay, so folks, well, that'll be wrapping up A Minute to Midnight for another episode. Please remember to visit aminutetomidnight.com, where we have all of our audio and video broadcasts available and plenty of good articles as well. Remember, there's a donation button on there if you feel led to help us keep this broadcast going. And also, I write and record all the music for all of our shows. So by supporting RockShoreSounds.com, you also help directly support aminutetomidnight.com. So that's it from Tony for another episode, and
that's it from Matt as well too. Thanks, folks, for listening.
Catch you in the next broadcast.